Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Angels Network with reader Tasha Harris on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Join Tasha every Friday at 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific for an hour of psychic chat, motivational tools for your spiritual toolbox, and inspiration every week. May your angels bless and guide you always. And now, here's Tasha.
Hello, everyone. It's Tasha and Ryan. You have to forgive me, I'm being rather silly since it is yet another Friday. That's cool. So I am happy, 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 happy. And Ryan is super happy because he got new information. But if he wants to share that, I'll let him share that with you. And Ryan's going to give us our opening universal message.
Okie doke. Here we go. Here we go. We're using Michael today. Yes, yes. We're using Michael today. Love me some Michael. He's been playing a big role lately. Big healer, big diviner. Everything. Just wonderful. So, we're shuffling. I always call on Michael, all the time now. Whenever I'm in the car or anything like that, I call him. I'm like, okay, I'm stressed out, I need you to move these people. Or I'm going to move them, and then I'm going to go to jail. And then it's going to be your fault. So, could you help me? Thanks. And then all of a sudden, people just get out of the way, you know? It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. The first card, Innocence, wow. I haven't seen that. I've actually never been able to use this one because I've never seen it actually show up, you know. But innocence is nice. It's talking about the innocence of us. We are innocent in most things that we do, except for those people that, you know, are complete jerks and, you know, they're out to get people, you know, and whatever else. And this is also about innocence of the spirit, innocence of our own selves, you know, knowing that we are innocent in a lot of things that we do, the innocence of our inner child, the innocence of having fun. The next one is take time making decisions. Again, I'm taking some time making some decisions. I had to do a lot of healing of myself last night. Good God, did I have to. And, wow, the last one is detached from the situation. So apparently there's a bunch of situations going on. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if they all show up tonight. That the big advice will be to just detach from some situation. Take time making the decisions and use the innocence of your own intuition, you know. Because your innocence, your intuition is never guilty. It's always innocent. It can never be wrong. And it can never be anything that is, well, maybe it can be out of the ordinary. But to someone who knows their intuition, and to someone who knows what they want, and how they're going to go about doing it, they're always going to be innocent. Unless, you know, they're out to get people. In which case, the universe is going to get you first. So, yeah. And that's probably the other thing here. Are you being innocent? Are you being pure in spirit while you're making these decisions? You know, decisions can be very cumbersome. They can be very trying. And a lot of people want to take the easy way. They want to just say, screw the red tape. And I'm one of those people. I am very much one of those people. So it's no surprise that this is coming up for me tonight as well. I like to find the easy way to do things. Sometimes it's the easiest way is to take the high road, and sometimes it's the easiest way is to take the most difficult one. But even if you can't make a decision right now, even if you cannot make a choice, you know, detach from the situation, as he's saying. Detach from the situation and look at it with different eyes. Look at how you are perceiving things. Look at how you're evaluating things and really take the time to understand every angle of it. Look at different avenues. There could be multiple ways to do it, and all you have to do is pick one, yes, but there could be better ways to do it, of all these different ways to do it. Good Lord, that train just distracts me. I wish they would stop doing. But anyways, that is the message from Michael today. So, wonderful as always. Thank you. So, since we just have people out there in the cosmos listening and nobody in the chat room yet, which is amazing, I would like to know your scariest experience, your scariest ghost experience. Yeah. Nina and I and Ebony were talking about one of her many experiences, and I got to tell you, I have never heard such a horrific story about Moldavite. So I thought, that'd be pretty interesting. Let me hear one of Ryan's scary experiences. Well, it's not scary to you and I, but to the average Joe, it would, like, be mind-boggling, you know?
Oh, this is true. There's a lot of things that people just take as scary. Oh, my goodness. But it's really not. It is what it is. Oh, my goodness. I remember when I was first learning to cast spells. Oh, my goodness. And we all know I'm Mr. Willpower, right? It doesn't take much for me to get into the spell and to really get focused and concentrate well. I was working with fire. We all know where this story is going. I was working with fire, right? And I was working with fire, and there's a really good chant going on. You could really feel the cone of power going and the energy. Yeah, it was great. Well, I kind of overshot. overshot just a hair and lit the curtains on fire. Now, most people would be saying, now, wait a minute here. Wait just 2 seconds. Why do you have your altar and your candles near your curtains, Ryan? Well, I'm here to tell you today, I did not have my candles near my curtains. No. Because there was no large curtains. The at the base, they were much higher up, right? And the altar is more near the floor. Good Lord. I still don't know I still don't understand it to this day. It was interesting. I was like, well, I guess we will move the altar to the northern quarter. And perhaps we won't use that quarter for this particular work anymore. You know, you just adjust in fire. Oh my goodness, you were talking about crystals? You were talking about crystals? Good Lord. I just had the craziest experience the other night. Not whilst I was healing before that. I had taken out, I was reading or watching various YouTube videos on crystals. It's like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I mean, I already get the whole crystal thing, you know, whatever. But I was watching that spirit science thing, whatever. And
okay,
I was like,
oh,
cool. Oh, yeah, I think some of it's a little far-fetched, but, hey, whatever. It was entertaining, and I guess there could be some truth to it. You never know. But it was wonderful to watch, but I liked the crystal episode, and, you know, it really got me a little bit more to wrap my mind around the ideas of crystals and the idea how they operate with the vibrational energies and all of that. Because I remember asking you, I said, all right, I know you're really big into crystals, but, dude, it's just a rock, right? How do you exactly see your...
No.
Where do they come up with this energy field that they're talking about and whatever else? Because it took me a little while to wrap my mind really around it. And then I was like, screw it, I'll just do it and call it a day. Well, I decided that I was going to take the seven stones, right, for the chakras, and I put them underneath my bed. Well, not underneath, my babies do not go on the floor. That's just not how they, well, except for Rachel's bed. Rachel's bed, they can be on the floor, because she sleeps on the floor anyways. And just for all those who don't know who Rachel is, Rachel's my dog. I don't make my children sleep on the floor. But anyways, so I put her stones underneath her bed. But I put mine in between mattresses. And I didn't set them out, you know, just from my head to my waist. No. I'm talking, I laid them, you know, head to foot. Stones, right in the line. And it was very weird. Like, my dreams since the last supermoon that involved me with Aquarius, my dreams have always been ramping up, especially in the last couple of weeks. Great, wonderful. But let me tell you, the dreams I had since I did that were astronomical. I still don't quite get them, and they're humorous and weird, but they were very clear, very vivid, and I'm remembering them all day long and even into the evening, so I can still write them down and everything like that. But, wow. It was, yeah, I'm a believer after that.
Yay.
And then I was trying to understand a better way to visualize. Now, before, I wasn't exactly the greatest at visualizing. I used my other senses. I didn't use the clairvoyant, well, except for readings and everything else. And even then, my eyes are open. But I was working on the chakras last night, because I was healing last night when I was doing it. And they aren't kidding about them chakras. Let me tell you, when those chakras are a little jacked up, everything else is jacked up, you know? And I now know exactly what to visualize, you know, exactly what to visualize, what image to visualize for each chakra. And now it didn't take long. As soon as I figured out, okay, for root chakra, we're going to think of a rose, because everybody knows what a rose looks like. And the basic person who's just starting out on witchcraft and whatever else, and the big thing is visualization, visualize. I mean, any one of my students, they don't even learn their first spell until they can at least hold a 3D image or 2D image in their head for at least 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, something like that. I don't teach anything like that until they can actually do it. And then I ask them up there, I'm like, so did they do it? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so we can teach you the prosperity spell then. Or whatever. You know, different things like that. But I never was the greatest at it. And being able to hold that for very long. As soon as I figured out exactly what it was, like the most common, simple thing, rose. Okay, cool. I held that rose image for literally the 4 minutes that was in that video. And then we went to the orange one, and I visualized an orange because I love oranges, and I can feel that texture and that smell. You know, those are all the things that I can consciously know and then visualize in my head as opposed to just having my eyes open. Because, see, that's why I'm a great scryer. Give me a crystal ball any day. All right, let's go. All right, cool. I'm looking. You know, whatever. But, when I started closing my eyes and to visualize things, it took me a little while. And it still does, you know, until last night when I was holding these various images for 5 minutes. And then some of them still kind of sat with me. And I was like, okay, well, we need to move to the next one. You know, and then I was consciously aware and subconsciously aware whilst I'm doing this meditation, right? You know, what do you want me to visualize? Okay, so they said an orange. I said, cool. And then we get to the heart chakra, right? Now, you would think maybe, like, you know, visualize, I don't know, a leaf or something, you know, something simple that's green, right? They told me to visualize broccoli. Mm-hmm. Broccoli, huh? Mm-hmm. Broccoli it is. I like broccoli. There we go. Makes all the perfect sense. You know, and then as we started moving up further, you know, I'm more able to visualize the colors as we get higher up into the chakras, but the lower ones, it kind of gets a little tricky, you know? And I think that has to do with a lot of how grounded I am as a person, because I'm a between-the-worlds person. There are people who are very worldly, and then they do middle pillar work on the Tree of Life, and that's all they do. Me? No. Mm-mm. I'm an esoteric person. I am between the worlds all the time, which is why I have to clear myself every day. I have to take time away from people, which is probably why I get really, really crabby all the time. But that's all a matter of me managing my chakras better and my energy. But you know, that's a very big thing right there. I don't think that I'm a very well-grounded person, you know, because I'm naturally in my spirit between the world, you know, constantly hearing what's going on the other side. I mean, I don't know, I was, what, 10? And I was seeing dudes walk around my living room. I was like, yeah, you guys need to leave because you're kind of creeping me out. And I'm not Ghost Whisperer, so have a good day. You know?
So, oh, I feel you.
It takes a little bit of time, but when you measure it out and when you really get things into perspective and you actually start to do what they want you to do, it does flow easier. But I'm an Aquarius, so I'm a rebellious energy. I don't always listen to them. Because yes, I understand you want me to do it, but I'm going to try it this way first. Well, you're going to fail. Well, then fine. Then I'll remember for next time. But that's like my big goals and my big task right now is being better at visualizing. And part of that being better at the visualizing and keeping the energy in focus is in sync is, you know, so I don't light my curtains on fire again. Or explode one of my crystals because that was telling enough back then. And you know, in magic, you want a little bit of a fear there. That's the best part, you know. It shows you have respect for the power. You know, you're not, well, I'm going to be Harry Potter and I'm going to turn you into a cup. You know, so.
I love it. But you're so right. You know, we all tend to forget from time to time to just woo-saw and calm down. So that's why God gave me Ryan and we take turns, you know. But the thing
exactly.
that I wanted you to understand, I love the spirit science guys, but there's just some people, you know, I'm working on my comprehension being better. So my new affirmation is everything I see, hear, or read, I memorize. But until it's, you know, 1,000%, when you tell me something, I can 52% memorize it. Remember it. They told me, honest to God, you said just watch the video. I mean, I saw that video a year ago when I really started digging into the thingamajigadale, tree of life thing, you know?
Right.
And I understand it a teeny, teeny, teeny bit. But see, you break it down to like a 2-year-old so I can understand it. See, and he talks fast sometimes, so I had to watch it like 72 times. And I understand, you know, a little teeny bit of it, a little baby bite. You know, but I know if Ryan does a video, I can just watch it like twice, and I got it. It all makes sense. All those marbles go right in the right holes, you know.
That makes it just easier for me too. I mean, you know, and also, I mean, I have clients. Oh, good God, that you try and explain to them the tree of life, even in simplest form, and it's just over their head. It's just gone. You know. Whatever. And even if it is in its simplest form, it's because they can't grasp the concept that, you know, perhaps the ideal... I mean, I've had diehard Christians come to me. All right? I've had diehard Christians come to me. And normally I change it when I find out because they give me a little heads up. They're like, oh, by the way, you got, like, freaking televangelists sitting at your table right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. You know. And even then, they're just kind of like, all right, I think I get it now. Because the Tree of Life has absolutely nothing to do with Goddess and God. Jesus. Well, I mean, it has a lot to do with those things. Yes, they're all components of it. But the idea is that universe is far greater than our little Milky Way galaxy and everything else. And you have to tone it down, and then this happens here, and then this goes to that, and all the way down to where we are on Malkuth, you know? And that's why I'm not surprised that, you know, now as I'm getting bored with the craft, I don't want to say bored with the craft, you know, or anything like that, not that I'm, like, almighty powerful with my work or anything like that. I mean, it'd be nice one day wake up and be Dumbledore, but, you know, whatever.
But see, I already think you are Dumbledore.
But see,
I really do.
I mean, I'm from northern Minnesota, so I humble myself very easily. So when you say that, I'm like, oh, you know, that's a northern Minnesota Lutheran thing. We humble ourselves very quickly up here. You know, but
I didn't know it was anything but spirit thing. Okay. Okay, let me interrupt you, honey. Let me interrupt you. Okay, caller 314, did you have a question for Ryan, honey? Hello, 314. It's your turn. Come on. Hello. Okay, well, 314, whenever you just chime right in because you're on the line. But, yeah, see, to me, Ryan, you're already that Dumbledore character guy, whatever his name is. I think that's pretty cool. Or the Dumbledore character dude in the Rings movie.
I've never seen those movies.
Oh, get out. Now, look,
no.
Now next time you're bored, you go and you rent the three of them things. Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't really get it pictures were pretty.
Well, I started reading The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit or whatever. And I'm sorry, I just didn't click with it. I was like, I don't even like short people, so I don't think I'm going to handle a book full of elves. You know,
No, but think of the bigger picture, the horses, the cinematography, the handsome men.
Oh, no.
314,
no.
Are you there yet? Hello, 314-937? Or no, 314-973? Okay, we'll just keep talking. Whenever you want to chime in, you go right ahead.
No. There is no movie that is better with cinematography than Titanic. I'm sorry. No. Mm-mm. Nothing is better than that movie.
You can be sorry, because this is, honey. Where do you see them horses and the handsome men?
No. I've seen the commercial.
There weren't that many handsome men in Titanic.
Yes, there was. Leo was in there. You didn't need anybody else.
Yeah. Okay, well for you.
And Billy Zane. Come on now. Billy Zane.
Wait,
I'll take that anyway.
What was he? I forgot he was in there.
Cal?
Okay, hang on, they're going back. Oh, that's right. It's been so long, but I don't want to see it again because I already know how it ends.
But
okay,
it's just wonderful.
314.
Though.
Are you
Hello,
there,
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, 314. Yes,
Hi.
We can hear you now. You sound so sweet and wonderful. Tell us your name and your sign, honey.
I'm Diane, and I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, another
Hi,
one of me.
Hi, Diane.
Go ahead.
So's Ryan. What's your question, honey?
I have a question. I was off work in June. I had to have surgery. And I was off work, and I went back to work been 6 weeks now. And I've gotten behind in my bills, and I thought I would have been able to catch up by now. And I'm kind of playing like robbing Peter to pay Paul, and I was just wondering. I know there's some money coming, but I'm kind of wondering, when is it coming? I'm kind of like tired of, you know, working. I'm working like 60 hours a week just to play catch up, and it's like wearing me out.
What do you do for work?
I'm a nurse.
Oh, that's even better, though. That's like their first saying, take gratitude in your work. And I'm not saying that because I'm going into nursing school or not because I'm a medic or anything like that, you know. They said take a lot more pride in that. Don't look at your job.
No, I'm not looking at the job. I mean, I love my job. I'm not saying I'm burnt out from that. I'm just saying
that burnt out thing will go away when you focus more so again back on that, because I feel like it's kind of dwindled a bit. You know what I mean? And the Aquarian people are the humanitarian, right? They're very humanitarian oriented. They're always out to heal people, those types of things like that. The money situation, what I am seeing right away as I'm shuffling these, I'm visualizing again. I'm getting so good at visualizing now. Is that there's a bank. So that confirms right there, I'm pretty sure, that money that you're talking about. I'm pulling the cards. Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's nice. It's, yes, that is very nice. Oh, two more? Okay. Nice. Okay. Well, we start with one major arcana and end with another. There is money coming. Okay, there is lots of money coming. The first one is Judgment Reversed. This is, and we're looking at these two past ones here, Judgment Reversed and the Queen of Cups. This is when you decided that you were not going to play a role that, you know, you didn't want to play anymore. You know, you didn't want to be a player in a play that wasn't to your understanding and to your liking. You know what I mean? So that's very important. But the other thing about this, though, is that this is mirroring the surrounding energies, right? Are you now, these are rhetorical questions here that you would ask yourself here. Are you staying around people who are in, or this could be in your past, these are people that had stayed, that are staying stagnant in their financial situations, you know what I mean? Or are they trying to aspire to something else? Are they, because it's been statistically proven that the people you hang out with or you associate yourself with are, and they're, you know, they're doctors and lawyers and whatever else, you know, or people who are broke and not doing nothing, eventually you end up assimilated into those. And that's the thing about this Queen of Cups here. It's also an assimilation of energy, right? You assimilate well into those things. So that's a caution. But see, you realize that. So that's why it's in your past. And so therefore, now we move into the Pentacles here, this Eight of Pentacles. That's very important too, because this is something that comes in quick and leaves quick. You know, that's what, you know, the number eight is, right? But that's also splendor on the tree. That's the intellect and the mind. You're using your mind a lot right now. And you're nurturing a lot of different things. What you're looking at this, I think, in all the wrong ways. Yes, it sucks that you have to work paycheck to paycheck. You know, yes, those things suck. No one likes those things. But see, this is you're nurturing something and you don't even know it. You see what I mean? What you're doing is you're showing to the universe that I'm still being powerful. I'm still being strong. I'm still working through this. I understand that I have to go through these things right now. I get it, you know, universe, I got you, kind of thing. You kind of see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, like, I understand all of that.
You're seeing one viewpoint, right? And then now what I'm giving you is kind of a different one. And now we move to the last couple cards here, and the Empress and the Hanged Man are here. You won't be continuing to self-sacrifice anymore. It's not this... You're not going to continue to self-sacrifice for your luxury, right? Because that's what the Empress is, lots of luxury, the desires of, you know, what we want and need and makes us happy and the splendor of it all, right? But it's saying is you're not going to be self-sacrificing anymore, which is what the Hangman is. You're not going to be stuck anymore. It's going to be changing soon, all right? It's just be a little bit more patient here, you know? Understand, universe knows what it's doing. You know, Aquarians are very rebellious energies. They don't like when the rules are put against them. You know, they like to break the rules. They like to... The other good thing about us that I will say, or in Aquarius in general, most of them, are that they are very easily... able to look outside of the box and then jump right back in, yes. And you know, jump right back in, yes. But on the same token, they're also able to visualize what they want. All right. Now, King of Wands here is coming. It's on its way, and I'm going to say maybe 3 months. Because all the other cards here are reversed, except for, you know, the major ones, the ones that are big key indicators. But the one that's upright is the woman, you know, the Empress. the one that has her luxury, and it's in the future. And coincidentally, the Hanged Man is number 12. Well, how many months are in a year? 12. It's reversed. It's not going to be any more than a year. And it's funny, because what they are saying in the future, as far as time frame, is the treat. So my best assumption, and what I'm understanding for them to say about these, is that it's going to be about 3 months, and I'm going to go with that. That's my big intuition feeling here in my gut. 3 months. In that time, the last one here, the King of Wands, this is masculine energy. This is the spark that fuels the passion. And this is the element of fire in the Kabbalistic world, which if you don't understand that's fine. I'm saying that this is the root of fire, what fire is. Fire is heat. Fire is passion. Fire is, you know, let's knock this first domino down and get going. The other important thing here to notice is coupled together, these three cards, coupled together, they tell a story of you. The other ones, the past and the present, great, wonderful. But now let's look at this future one. This one tells a different story, where you change, where you have your luxury in less than a year's time with that, where it's not going to be involving all self-sacrifice or self-sacrificing your own happiness to create happiness. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be changing a bit. And how you do that is when you become, you know, you keep going through it a little bit more, right? But you get new creative ideas and how you're going to do it. I think, and now they're showing me that bank again. Do you invest any of your money or anything at all? $10?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay. Check on those. You know, the CD, that CD idea, they said they want me to show you that. When you have the time or the funds, because they usually ask for like $500 down to make a certificate of deposit. And it just makes interest over time, yes. But they said plan for that long term. So make a long term plan for that. Because that's an action. You know, that's an action way the hell out into the future. Yes. But that also tells the universe that, okay, great, I'm planning ahead. I'm getting ready for what you want to give me. Do you see what I mean? Is this, can I clarify anything else for you?
No, that was pretty much it. I appreciate it.
Good, good. 3 months, though. I'm going to go with that. 3 months. 3 months right there. It's not more than a year. And I think that's absolutely amazing how these future cards played out. They gave me something that was not over 12, and then when I kind of instinctively just said, is it over a year, you know, time frame.
Okay.
And then that 12 came up reversed. So
that... Okay.
I do not think it's going to be over a year. I think that it's going to be within the next 3 months, and they want you to plan long-term investment now.
Okay.
And they want you to really just give over some more trust, but really stay focused on what you're doing. Take a new enjoyment of your work, and...
Thank you,
you know,
so much. Thank you
and
so
keep,
much.
Keep functioning forward. It's going to be figured out. 3 months. Just keep. Don't look for it. Don't look for it. Just let it happen.
Okay.
We don't have to rush. We have another 25 minutes to go yet.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I said you don't have to rush off. We have another 25 minutes to go yet.
Oh, okay.
Let me give Ryan a quick break here. Hang on, please. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. B. DeLozier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and The Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister, bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs. But if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Arvel Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at arvelbird.com and get a hold of all of Arvel's wonderful music.
I just love her voice. Love her voice. Okay, the caller hung up. Okay, go ahead. You were saying we were talking about the Kabbalah.
Oh yes, the Kabbalah. You know, and I don't quite remember where I left off, but yes, I enjoy that, learning about that, and I love researching and everything. I mean, you try and tell some clients about it and, you know, get them a clear understanding of where you're coming from. And it can be very hard sometimes, you know, because, I mean, they can't picture what you're trying to explain. They can't picture what the tree looks like and Keither and mom and dad and you know, their child, and when, you know, trial by fire happens, and then you have to go and relax a bit, then you go and learn about the heart, and then you under, a lot of people don't get that. It's very foreign to them. It's not an easy concept for them to grasp. And that can be very hard sometimes, especially for the reader, especially when that's their primary base. And then because they don't understand, which can be tough, they look at you like you're inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I didn't make this stuff up. It's been around for a while. So, you know, if you don't understand something, let me help you clarify in a better way, but... You got Google.
Amen. But it's so true, you know, and along the lines of, you know, new age, just nothing's new. You're just not hearing about it.
I absolutely hate that word, those two words together. Absolutely hate them. Oh, my good God. I can't even walk into Barnes & Noble without wanting to rip off their little sign above their new age, quote-unquote, books. I don't even use it. How about you call it what it is? The occult. I don't know. Just saying. The occult, you know, hidden things that are hidden, mysteries. I mean, really. We even use the word occult in medicine for, well, I don't know who's eating right now, but whatever. You know, when we're trying to find blood in things in stuff that where it's not, you know, supposed to be, but there it is. Why don't you call it what it is? I absolutely hate that.
Wait,
is that
what it was called?
I cannot get by that.
What Joe said.
Right. I'm like, you know, none of this is new. It's never been new, all right? It's been around for years and years and years, generations and beyond, right? And you're trying to claim that it's new age just because we at one point we're in a very monotheistic or monotone view of being, fine, whatever. But there's nothing new about it, you know. Or what's the other one they use? Neo? No, it's neo something. I don't know. But that's what the Latin root is, neo. You know, it's new. And... like, there's nothing new about this. It's just there. There isn't anything that is abnormal about it. It's just what it is. This is what people use for years of being until when everything changed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I enjoy... every aspect of this. There's so much. There's just a plethora of knowledge involved in it. And, I mean, you don't just have the sephira, which, you know, the physical manifestation of these things, you know, I mean, on the tree, you know, they're called sephira, right? They're just balls of swirling energy attached to one another, fine. They're not really called sephira, or they're not really anything, just energy. You know, you go beyond the sephira into what each sephira means. You know, like bina, understanding. Chokma is wisdom. Well, reversed, you know, you say it the other way. But, you know, and gebra, severity. All those names are what the literal meaning of those are. And then you go deeper into that as to... what astrological correspondences are there? Mars is obviously deals with Gebra, you know, severity, the fighter, the warrior, trial by fire. And Mercury deals with the mind, so it's going to be associated with Hod. And the moon, clearly, has always been some form of magical whatever, so it's going to be associated with the Yesod. And then you look at... that you can even add the science into it of our regular science, you know, that says God doesn't exist and things like that. Have y'all seen the flower of life thing? Okay. Just saying, sacred geometry. Come on now. But I mean, you can even add the science into that, where you know, Keith, or the very top, is the big universe, the heavens, you know, the beginning of all things. And then Tipperith, just beneath it, is the sun, and it's a manifestation of Keith. It's supposedly a reflection of it. You know, it's so wonderful. And its beauty is what Tipperith means, by the way. So naturally, and the six-pointed star is there, and the sun, and six, a culmination of both threes, you know. And then Yesod, where it's the astral, our where we do our magic, where the aliens come from, or whatever, you know, another dimension. And it's just wonderful there, too. And that's supposed to be, you know, a manifestation or a reflection of Tipperith. And then, you know, you have Malkuth, which is supposed to be a manifestation or another dimension of the Yesod in a different form, you know, Malkuth, where we are, terra firma. But yet, and then you look at the science of it. Well, how do you get the light from the sun? You get it from Keether. So then, you know, Keether sends light to the sun, and then, you know, the light bounces off the moon, which this is science, by the way. So the moon is reflecting everywhere, and it's just wonderful. And then at night, the light comes onto the earth, and so therefore we have light at night, you know. And the equinoxes are all in here. There's so much, and it's so vast, the geometry and gematria and the ancient Hebrew alphabet, or the Hebrew alphabet, you know, Yahweh, the concealed name of God, the four words that can never be spelt or said into an actual word, you know. It's just amazing. And that's why I say there's just so much into it that you really have to try and break it down for the client, or else they just get lost. When I do the
I love everything. Sorry, go ahead.
Say what?
I was saying hi, love is everything in the chat room.
Oh.
If you have a question, go ahead and type it out. Go ahead.
Like when you take it all in and you just, like, I'm doing meditations now on each sephira. It's about a month long I'm spending on each sephira. Right now, obviously, I'm on Keether. This is the first one. So it's all about the universe and the light, and you take a candle and you look at that, and everything is geared towards the sephira. For example, the altar is dressed a certain way. Certain things go on there. The ointments are certain ones. Incenses go on there. Now, let me tell you, it's expensive. So I'm not out to go and buy ambergris, which is basically, you know, whale vomit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out to go and buy that because that's expensive. So I'll just use a little Frank and Myrrh. How's that sound? And everything else, I'll just substitute along the way. But everything is geared towards the sephira, and there's certain activities that you do. Like, you look at the candle, and you see where the light penetrates and how far it really goes, and you learn from that Keether, yes, it's all expansive, but it's also limited, because light, as it goes away, it dims, you know. And you go through everything like that. It's all geared to their sephira, and the corresponding energies, the archangels are all there. Metatron is, and there's a lot of people that are really against Metatronics and things like that, whatever they are. I don't even know what it is. I don't really care to know. All I care about is the Metatron. Hey, I need you to come help me balance some things out here. All right, let's go. I get it. Cool. You know, and Sandalphon is of the Malkuth, so, you know, as above, so below, right? But there's so many different ways to work this tree, and you can go from the top all the way to the bottom, and then you go back to the bottom and work you all the way to the top. But there are some witches, and even Kabbalists. Well, mostly witches that I've been running into. They'll only do middle pillar work. You know, the one that's a direct link to Keether, you know, they'll leave Malkuth and then they'll go into the Yesod and meditate there and whatever else. And then they'll just stay there because, you know, it's so wonderful. And then they'll work their way up to Tipperith, and they'll just, it's so wonderful there, so they'll stay there. It's nice. It's wonderful that you can do middle pillar work. Nice, but ineffective. you know. But, I mean, when you branch off there and you go into, like, Netsock, the land of the hearts, and you work over in Chesed, and but you can't stay there. Some people will stay there. If you stay there, you become severely off balance. You know, you need to move the other side, and then you move back, and that's how you operate the tree. That's how we operate together. That's why the middle pillar is called the pillar of equilibrium. You know, you have the pillar of severity on one side with all the feminine things, and then you have all the masculine ones, the pillar of mercy, but they're flip-flops, so what does that make any sense? Usually a masculine energy is more severe. Not always. But see, there's symbology there. It's just like yin and yang, right?
Yeah.
So, and then you look deeper at the sephira. Well, what the hell is Mercury doing over in the feminine side? Why is Mars over there? But it's held by Saturn and feminine energy, yin and yang. Same with over here. Why is there a masculine energy attached to Netzach and Chesed and whatever else, even though Venus is associated with Netzach, right? But the land of the heart, but there is some masculine energy in there, you know? So people don't get those things. This is why the Kabbalah is quote-unquote controversial to people as well, you know? Which
but
I don't understand why. Well, right, but I don't understand why it's controversial. It makes perfect sense.
You see the Bible how you see the Bible, and I see the Bible how I see the Bible, just an example. And I have to be right. Example, like the people say, oh, the Jewish people made it. They didn't make nothing. They might have put it in their belief system according to however they believe, but Kabbalah's been here thousands of years before the Jewish people were here.
Right. But, I mean, I don't understand why they put up a big stink about the Bible, because the Torah is based off the Old Testament. It is. The first five books, the Pentateuch, is from the Bible, you know? The Torah, the Old Testament, the history of the Jews. And I mean, good God, Jesus was a Jew. I mean, really, he was never a Christian, because it didn't exist until his story happened. After his story, excuse me. You know? And the same with the Muslims. Had nothing to do with that. Didn't happen until after the fact. I loved watching that spirit science that apparently said that the Hebrews were from another planet or something like that. Did you catch that episode? Yeah, they said that the Hebrews were from another planet. That's why they never actually had a true homeland until, you know, we stuck our big noses in there and created Israel. But that's a conversation for another radio show. But you see what I mean? So,
yeah, I do.
But, I mean, the Kabbalah has everything to do with the Hebrews. It has everything to do with everything that they used. But where did it all come from? No one really truly knows. I mean, they don't have a homeland. They don't have where they belong. You know, the great diaspora continuously happens for the poor people. And, yeah, so, but yet they're the ones that are the big leaders of it. The ones that work it well, the ones that know what they're doing, the ones that get it. You know, I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was liberal Jews that were allowing gays to get married first. You know?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, I always remember hearing, oh, just become a Jew. Well, that's why. Well, you know, they like gay people. I'm like, well, I never knew that. Alright, I just knew that they were very smart and very rich. Like every doctor I ran into are Jewish doctors, which, hey, I'll take that any day. But you know, but I don't know. I just let it be as it is, you know. But I love the Kabbalah, and I love everything about it.
Well, I am, because you know, for a minute I was like really, really deep into it, but I couldn't. Yes, so now that you are, I'm renewed again. So, yeah, I'm going to shut up and let her ask her question real quick. Okay, go ahead, honey. We only have 5 minutes left.
Okay, sorry for calling in so late. But my question is concerning college. Right now, majoring in, I'm in college right now. I'm going to be a sophomore in upcoming fall. And right now I'm majoring in business. And everyone says that that's a good field for me to go into. But I'm not doing as well as I was planning on doing because, like, the first class that I'm taking within it, I didn't do so good. So now I have to do almost in all the rest of the classes. And I just want to see if you see me doing well in those other the rest of the classes that I have to take. Because I don't know.
What's your sign?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, goodness. You can do anything. Okay, first of all, if you really set your mind to it, right, you can do anything. That's great. Wonderful. Let me ask you this now. Well, actually, for the time constraints, you know, you can answer in your head. But do you truly want to do this? I mean, is this definite? Is this going to be the end-all, be-all for you? I mean, I'm asking if this person wants to be continuing in business, and I'm wondering why or what their situation is. But there's a lot going on in this that you're weighing out and you're trying to figure out. I wonder also is, you know, I'm wondering if the universe was not telling you something by not doing well in one class and then having to redo everything or whatever. I'm wondering if that's not the case either. You're very smart. Everyone's going to tell you one way or another, don't go into business. Don't go into business. Don't go into business. But there are a lot of smart people that actually can take business and do something with it. In today's economy, yeah, great. Business isn't, you know, you want to do something more practical. Most people do. Wow. Libra, that's the first thing. Justice. Balancing act. This is what you're doing or have been doing. Wow. Holy Christ. The Star reversed. The Ace of Cups reversed. King of Pentacles. Wow. Okay. There's a big story here. Like, I'm not going to go into the whole thing because we don't have that much time. We're not afforded that opportunity. But there's a whole thing here. You're only doing this, I think, I really feel, to please yourself. You know, I really... Or maybe even to please someone else, because there's a man figure involved in this. I don't really feel that your heart is in this. I really don't. Because the star here is reversed. That's hope, creativity, a desire to do something, to create something from something. And then the Ace of Cups reversed, that's the heart. And it's not there. It's not upright. And I'm wondering if you're doing this maybe to please someone, like your father, because that's a masculine energy here. Or to please regular society in, you know, where everything goes. I don't really think that your whole heart is in this. I will tell you now, if your heart's not in it, you won't do well. You know, you won't try. You know what I mean? So, and this Mercury energy here is important too. Because that's the mind, that's the intellect. You're very smart. You're able to put things together, pieces of the puzzle. And this High Priestess here is reversed, talking. We got to talk about some things within us. Is it too late to change your major or no?
I can still change it. I know everyone says that, oh, you just look into your heart and find what you want to do, but I don't know. That's why I
But that's exactly what you need to do, though. That's exactly what you need to do. You're... Scorpios don't act like the water that they are. No, no. They act like fire. They're always going after something. They have to be going after something. That's the thing here. And with you, I'm already seeing what I'm feeling. First of all, I don't feel like your heart's even in this. You don't even want to do it. You know, I feel like there's something that you've been eyeing that you really want to do more. Like, I feel like it's even a science or something that has to deal with that's a bit more. Like, I feel like there's just something else that you want to do. This earned success is saying that, you know, yeah, what you've done so far is great in life, wonderful. You know, but I feel like there's more that you want to do. The whole follow your heart thing, that's been the message that the universe has been telling you from other people. Don't waste your money. You know, don't waste your time, because time is precious. Time is valuable. Especially your own time. But the thing here is, I really don't feel like your heart is even in this. I feel like you want to do other things. I feel like you want to learn other things that aren't so strict. I feel like you're doing this to please a father figure, to be real honest. That's what I'm thinking. And I don't know how true that is, but you only know the answer to that. And that father figure I could be referring to is the inner masculine energy of you, what's practical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The same advice that I give to you is really listen. Go and meditate, you know, try different things out. Ask other people, because something is going to come along here very soon that's going to make you be, that's what I should have been doing. Wow, that sounds so good. Yes, I finally found it. And it's going to be happening very soon. Lots of communication is coming in. We just went out of a Mercury retrograde, you know, all of that. You are a warrior. You are a fighter. We know that because we see that perfected work here with, you know, that both masculine energies here, masculine and feminine energy, but that perfected work here is reversed. I really don't think that if you go through with continuing this, you're going to do very well. I'm sorry if that's not the answer you wanted to hear, but I think also you kind of wanted to hear that as well. So you had some confirmation to do something else. You know?
I did want to hear that because everyone's saying I'm going to do well, but I don't know. If I would be happy if someone told me, just go into this and you'll do well in this field, and then I follow through with that and I do good.
But that's too easy. You're not that. You are not shallow like that. You're not shallow like that. You're very multidimensional. You don't want the easy way. You don't want someone to tell you. Scorpios are very rebellious too. You don't want someone to tell you what to do. You don't want someone to forgive the phrase "wipe your own butt," but you know it is what it is. I really don't think that. I think you called to hear someone tell you that you wouldn't do well in this. I really feel like you did because you know very well that you don't want to do this and you needed some sort of validation. Like, that's what I really feel here. And I really feel like this whole people telling you, oh, yeah, you'll be desperate. Oh, honey, what you need to say kind of thing. Great, wonderful. But, you want something else. That's what I'm feeling right now. You want something else. You want to do something else. And I feel like you want to do something that benefits other people. You're in the process of trying to flesh things out and find the purposeful job and the purposeful being, you know. And Bria is the land of water. That's emotions and feelings in the heart. It's not upright at all in any of this. I firmly believe that this is not where your heart lies, and I'm going to tell you right now, if that's the case, you will not do well, because you will not try. You will eventually say, you know what, he was right. Everyone else was right, too. Yeah, I can do well at this. I really wanted it. And that's the one thing everybody has been keeping out, because you ask them for their advice, and they don't have the advice. They don't have the answer that you want, or they don't have the right answer because they're too afraid of giving you bad advice or steering you wrong. If they were giving proper advice, they would be saying something along the lines of, I know you don't want to do this, so therefore you won't do well. Or, yes, you will do well if you really want to, if this is your path, if this is what you truly want. Right now, you're at a choice point right now. The crossed swords are everywhere here. You're at a choice point right now. You just have to decide if this is what you really want. And you need to just follow your intuition, listen to it, and say, you know what? That's right. I don't want this, you know? Let me just grab one quick Michael card here. I'm just going to grab one. And I always go with Michael. Yep, wow. Prayer will help this situation. I don't know how spiritual you are, or anything like that, but I would like it if you asked Michael. Just ask him, and he will tell you where to go. He will get you from point A to point B, no problem. But to be very honest, I don't feel like this is where you want really to be. I feel like you want something more. I feel like you don't want the practicality of it. You want something that'll actually challenge your mind on different levels. Business, yes, will do that, but will it get you, you know, how easy is it for you to start businesses and whatever else like that? You know, I feel like you want to actually have a skill. You know, I feel like you actually want to help people, or I feel like you want to build things or whatever. You want to be a former of something, you know? And you can get all those things from business too, but honestly, business I don't feel like is the way to go for you. I feel like you want something else. I feel like your heart's not in it. And my answer to your question is, if your heart's not in it, you will not do well. You will be doing it just to please other people, and eventually it will catch up to you, and you will hate it. You will utterly despise it, and then you will start to give up, and then be like, why did I do this? So I think that's a pretty solid answer for you.
Yeah, it is. And I do get what you're saying, and I do remember when I would call in, people, and most of them would say, yeah, you would do good in business. And then, like, they were also, since the science part of me, and I don't know, I think that's one of the reasons why I left, because if a majority of them are saying I'm going to do really good in business, then I'm going to want to go with the more positive results. And they do say that I can do anything if I put my mind to it, but I don't know, I feel like I'm...
But see, that's their life, not yours.
Yeah.
You have your own life to run. They don't have to run your life by their opinion, and you don't have to run your life by their opinion, you know? And you need to just make up your own mind here. That's why those air cards came up. That's why that justice card came up. You need to make up your mind. You're balancing things, yes. And that's the other thing about that justice card. The feather of Mott is the feather of truth, and truth will always weigh out more so than the heart. If you understand Egyptology and the mythology of the ancient Egyptians, you know, the heart was weighed against the feather of Mott, you know, whether or not you were in the afterlife, you know, if you were bad, or if you lied, or if you stole, or whatever, and eventually that, you know, truth's the truth, whether it's veiled behind a mask, like in the card, because she's wearing, in my deck, she's wearing a card, or she's wearing a mask, but her eyes are lit up. Truth's the truth, whether it's hidden behind a mask, or whether it's centuries later or not, or centuries in the past or not. Truth's the truth. And you know the truth. You just need to be willing to accept said truth. And part of that truth is saying, I'm important. What I want matters, not what other people say. You kind of see what I mean here?
Yeah, I get what you mean. I do agree that part of it is, like, me going within myself and figuring out. But then it's, like, time is, like, a year has already passed, and I just feel like I don't know, but then I know I want to do something with equality. But then, you know, I feel like I don't know.
Then
I feel like
do it.
Time is running out. That's good? Oh, my God.
Then do it. If you want to do something, you need to do what you want. You need to learn to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And you need to, you know, bust out of someone's kneecaps if they keep telling you what they want you to do. I'm just saying, I don't condone that too. But I like my option too as well. At least then you know they're not going to try and come back and tell you what to do.
No, but if
playing.
You ignore them,
I
you
always
just
look...
leave.
Right. Always take the high road, I know. But that's the other thing with you. You need to take the high road, too. And the high road that's involved in this situation is you. You need to be the higher person. You need to be the higher person for yourself. Oh, I'm starting to sound
follow your heart.
What I want you to do, real quick,
is I want you to go to bed tonight, and I want you to ask universe, what is it? Show me. And you can ask them, and you can be demanding about it, because the universe will answer. And you'll ask Michael, say, "Saint Michael, I need your help." And you come. You, there he is, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, "Michael, universe, I want you to show me what you want me to do in dreams and in the days to come. And I want you to say, I want to know by the full moon." And you will find out by the full moon. You just give them a little time to get the message because, you know, intergalactic messages take a little time to get there, it seems. but you tell universe, universe, I want to know. What do you want me to do? And I want to know by the full moon, not after. And you will find out. You will find out in different ways. You will find out in feelings and intuition. You will find out, you will hear things on the radio over and over and over again. Or you'll be thinking about something and you'll be in a crowd and all of a sudden the word yes will pop out. Or the word no will pop out. Amidst all these voices that are happening, you will find out. You will see. Trust me on this. It will happen and you will find out by that full moon. But that's what you need to do. If you are that conflicted, you need to ask universe, say, universe, what do you want me to do? And I want to know by the full moon. And you're going to do that every night. Every night before you go to bed. Every night. No ifs, ands, or buts. Every night. If you want to know, and if you want to get this situation figured out, every night. Every night. What do you want me to do? Show me what you want me to do. And universe will answer. Because you came here for a reason. You came here with a destiny. And obviously your destiny is not in business because your heart's not in it. So yes, you will fail. You will not do well if you stay with this. But that's the thing. Now that you know, ask universe, what do you want me to do? And universe will tell you. Every night. Every night, and I want to know by the full moon.
Okay.
Which is August 22nd, I believe. Well, you just look up in the sky and you'll see it. So then you'll know. But you will find out. You ask universe every night. Every night you ask universe.
Okay, I'll do that. But I know you say I'm a smart person, but what if I just leave college altogether? I'm here on full ride and stuff, and
that's
probably
the stupidest thing you could ever do. And you're not.
I
stupid.
Know, but I don't know. I just feel like probably I'll just go back home and get part-time jobs and.
Yep, that's why. And you know what? And that's the easy way out. That's for you. If you want to do that, fine. More power to you, but that's the easy way out. That's you running from this situation. That's you running from getting an answer. Because you're clearly afraid of the answer or what the answer might be. Or you're afraid about whether you're afraid that, you know, it's going to be too hard. No, this is hard. Obviously, right now this is hard. And you sound like you're about 21, 20 years old, 22, somewhere in there. 20. And this is the great fleshing out. This is your age group right now. You're not in a dark night of the soul. Trust me, I know what a dark night of the soul is. I've been in one. But right now, you're trying to figure out who you are. And you're right. You can run home, get a part-time job, back to mom and dad, you know, live the life that, you know, you want. I won't stop you, neither will Tosh, and universe will probably kick you in the butt and be like, well, fine, fuck you. I mean, excuse me. you know? But fine, you can go and do that. You can run back home and do that. But that's the easy way out. And that's a cowardly thing to do.
Yeah.
And I know I've taken the easy way a few times. But it's through the hard times when we become better. When we are more enlightened. When we are smarter.
Amen.
And that's exactly where you're at right now. That's exactly where you're at right now. You don't even have enough years in your life. Oh, I'm an adult. No, you're not. No, you're not. 18 did not make you an adult. 21 shows hell didn't make you an adult. You becoming an adult is knowing who you are. I still have plenty of years, and I'm 24, going to be 25 in January. I still have... Oof, I don't even consider myself anywhere near adult yet. But that's exactly where, because I remember you are me a couple years ago. No, excuse me. You are me last year. You are me when I just got into school, after I got out of my deployment. Or when I got home from my deployment, not out. When I got home from it. you are me a year ago. You can drop out, get a regular job, and whatever else, fine. But you have a free ride, and most people don't get that. I have a free ride right now, yes. Military has done wonders for me. But a lot of people don't have that. And because you know that you have the free ride and it's all paid for, you should be using that. You should be embracing that and making it worth it. Because if you don't, you've pretty much just spit in everybody else's face who's had to work hard.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm mostly scared of. I've been failing, and now I'm supposed to follow my heart, and then I'm scared that what if I end up failing even when
that's all right. You can fail. That's all right. You can fail. No, that's all right. And that's not me being sarcastic like I was a little bit earlier. That's exactly what it is. That's okay. You can fail. You're 21, 22, whatever. You haven't even begun to live yet. You haven't even begun to live enough to fail enough. Please. You growing and living at mom and dad's for 18 years or whatever your life story is, going through high school, yada, yada. Clearly, you must have been doing something right. You getting a free ride for a free education is universe's gift to you. And now, being that you know that, universe will be telling you what it wants you to do. You know?
Yeah.
I know what mine was. Mine was medicine. I've known that since military. I knew I was not meant to stay at McDonald's, even though I'd been there since I was 15, so roughly 6 years. And I worked my way all the way up into management. I could have stayed there, but mind you, if I had stayed there, I'd have to be kissing butt the whole way up the ladder. Corporate America. Oh, didn't remember that about your little business degree, did you? So.
That's great. I feel like this had to happen for a reason,
You can't say this had to happen for a reason and then contradict it like that. If you believe it happened for a reason, then you ask universe, why did this happen, and what do you want now? What do I do? And universe will tell you. Universe will tell you. But, yeah, that's all right. If you fail, fine. Wonderful. That's great, actually. Because that means you went through the fifth Sephira, trial by fire, burning off the crud, destroying the old way, growing and learning. You can't stay forever in chesed, which is expansion and growth. You can't be always expanding. You have to fail. You have to create boundaries. You know? And then you go through Tipperith and the Netzach, and you learn about the heart and the grace of it all. And then the splendor you have from an enlightened mind in the eighth Sephira. And then the understanding that of the universe, that all things happen for a reason, which is a direct link to Kether, God's source, on Earth, where you have the greatness of everything in the Earth, in your reality. That's what you're creating right now, is your own reality, what you see in front of you. And now this is the time to discern what is truth and what is false.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing. So don't be afraid of it. Look at it and be like, oh, there's a reason for this. I've been trying to apply for jobs everywhere. I can't get one. I tried moving out of my parents' house. I can't even get people to call me back for an apartment that is in my budget for me and my dog, in town or otherwise. I can't even get a job in town or otherwise. Clearly, there's a reason. Stop. You just freaking listen for 2 seconds. Look around you. See with different eyes what is going on here. Why would I keep you here?
Do you feel like they heard? Because I don't know if you hear, but I've been really sad about this, and that I didn't do good in the class. And I've been, so I have been asking them, like, for help. And I'm so happy that you've told me this. But do you feel like they're hearing me, and that they, because I know they heard you.
That's why you failed. That's why you're questioning everything. They heard you. Now you just need to say, All right, I want a clear, concise answer now. Well, be nice about it. Give them a little time. Full moon. I want an answer now. Because the universe forgets that it's limitless. It doesn't operate on time like we do. So universe forgets that, I think. I think universe forgets that we live in a 24-hour day. So universe likes to take its freaking time. So I think it forgets about us every one more game. So then we have to remind it, hey, full moon, come on. Time, give me an answer by this time. I need to know. You're going to figure it out by the full moon. Trust you me. I'm willing to bet on it. Yes, I will bet on it. If I had to, I would bet on it. But I'm not a gambler very often. So. I have a little bit of addiction to gambling. So, point is, ask them, what do you want me to do? And you do it, and you will get your answer, and you say, by the full moon, and you do it every night. There's a reason for this, and there's a reason why you're questioning it. You asked if the universe would be the one to say, you know, left, right, or sideways. The universe did tell you, now you're going left, right, and sideways because you can't freaking hear the message. Stop asking all the questions. Stop running to get other people's opinion, who, by the way, are just human, and thinking for their own selves. And ask yourself, go what I do once a month. I go in my room. I close all the drapes. I turn the light off. And I lay in my bed like a depressed person. I don't get depressed. Well, sometimes. It's a lot of introspection. But close the drapes, everything. No light, no nothing. And just stare off into the ceiling, into the blank void. Why? Because that's what the universe is when you look at it. It doesn't have boundaries like we do here. And also, if you're really good, like me, you'd be able to scry and see exactly what it is. You'd be able to start seeing pictures.
So, well, maybe she can call you and you can do that with her.
That's true. My information is somewhere on the page. But, yeah, let me know how this works out. You will figure it out. Stop worrying about it. Ask the questions. You know, ask the questions. Stop asking yourself and ask the universe. And then after you've asked, you just simply say, I trust that you will give me the answer. I mean, and you can't say you're not even a spiritual person, or why would you be calling this spiritual guide? You know?
No, and, I trust it. I trust it a lot. I'm not going to say there's something wrong with me, but I know people say I have to look within myself, but I want to be more open to it and hear it and all that. I feel like I do, but I don't know. That's just, yeah.
All things in due time.
I agree.
All things in due time. And in your due time, by the full moon. So, I think that is the message that I have. And, wow.
What's your information?
That was way after every time. I thought we would get, like, disconnected or something.
Well, we're going at any second now. Give her your email.
Oh, yes, email. Ryan, R-Y-A-N, M-N, A-R-N-G, 89@hotmail.com. And, you know, if you didn't get that, just replay this and you'll get it.
Okay.
But, yep, there it is. So you have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you so much for telling me that.
You're welcome. Okay.
Have a nice evening, you guys.
You too.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.